everyone, to a brand new Getting Color right here on the big VitoBrand.com. I am Virtue, being joined by the man himself, of course, former WCW hardcore champion and legend, Big Vito LoGrasso. What's up?
How's everybody out there? Hope everybody's had a great weekend. I know the summer's coming to a close, but not for the BIGV from the LOG, because we live in Florida.
Nice. I mean, I live in Ohio, and it's been humid or rainy up here. It's about
it. Yeah, I hear you.
Tornadoes.
So, Mr. Virtue, we have a lot of things going on in wrestling. I know AEW news. I know we got WWE news. Where do you want to start today?
You brought this up before we went live here. Vince McMahon, you said there's footage of him being at Planet Fitness.
Picture of him in Strange.
And then he was caught, of course, by TMZ or somebody when he was out to eat on his birthday in New York City, maybe, and with a lady friend. Any thoughts on Vince McMahon being caught by cameras in the public?
The thing that got me, and if you ever watch any Gotti movies or you're in the mafia or you grew up around those people, right? You're always proud of your family. Mm-hmm. Never hide your face, because it shows you're ashamed of yourself and who you represent. When you hide your face like the way he did, and he's cowering to the cameras, you were bravado. You were the man. You were walking around during lawsuits. You were laughing in people's faces. You were snickering at the poor. And then you get caught at your birthday party and you hide your face instead of coming out dapper and elegant and saying, hey, I'm the man. I just went through my birthday. How you doing, guys? Happy birthday to me. Cool. No. Another thing was he had a female friend who was accompanying him who had a purse in her mouth, which I thought was hysterical. But he was caught on camera. John Cena was there, was recorded, right? And he walked out proud, not hiding nothing, not having to be ashamed of. But did you know that there were a few other celebrities there at this party?
Who were they?
Yeah, I thought Brock Lesnar, for one, was there. There were a few others, but Brock was there. A lot of them went out the back after Cena went out and Vince went out. They all got, but they didn't get caught.
Vince made them all millionaires, so.
but you know what? God deserves, no matter what, everybody deserves a birthday. It's just that if you're going to be that guy and you're going to stand up and you don't face fear, never hide your face when you're the leader of a family.
Good point. So, I just wanted to touch on that briefly. Good calling that out about him hiding his face, because that's so unlike Vince McMahon, and yet he did that. Vito, we got a few topics we're going to cover before we do these wrestling topics, because I don't think I did it last week. Is there anything that's on Vito's mind that you want to talk about, wrestling, non-wrestling? If not, we'll move on, but I know there usually is.
AEW botches.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if anybody who follows me on Twitter, I hope you do. Now, at night, Monday through Thursday, I have the greatest time watching AEW botches. Not because I want to see who messes up, because I want to see what they didn't cut out. It's so blatant. It is taped. It is all like, I don't understand what they're proving by putting this on TV, the streaming, and all this stuff. If they mess up, why do you put it on tape? Cut it up. I don't understand it. I never will understand it. And I'll write, I don't know if anybody ever follows when I follow the debauches and I go, oh my God, the stupid faces or whatever. But I'm just amazed at what they actually put out there. Virtue,
Now, it's interesting you say that, because remember I sent you the video clip of the indie guy that were doing a show in a backyard, literally. So, okay. And this was a guy that we worked with a tag team match when you were up here. And I'm not going to mention his name. but he did a bigger guy, big dude, young, up and, you know, up and coming, yeah, Cleveland local indie guy. And the finish for the match when you were in town was the Rob Van Dam split leg moonsault. And you're like, do something your physicality can handle, right? Do coaching, giving advice. Guy ended up doing the moonsault, and it was the shits, right? I mean, I'm not saying that as non-wrestler, but you said that. Vito knows this stuff. That it didn't look good. You saw that botch. Yeah. What makes these, especially, like, remember when a bigger guy used to be a big guy, one-man gang, King Kong Bundy, whatever, Bastion Booger. It was still big guy moves, Tugboat. The list goes on and on. Why are these the way wrestling is today with the flips and the dives and the moonsaults, Vito, why?
Because they watch all these little guys do it, and I just look at it and I say, I don't understand it.
Because he could have seriously broke his neck.
That guy could have broke his neck. You are absolutely right. But the thing is that these guys are wrestling once a month, twice a month, once every 2 months. Nobody trains like Vito LaGrasso. Nobody trains like the old days. Nobody's in the ring 4 and 5 days a week. You're not on the road. You're not wrestling every day in the territory. You're not practicing your craft. That's why these moves look atrocious. That's why they all look terrible. This is what gets me upset. It should be mandatory that you go down to the training facility and you work on your craft. If you don't have 25 years in the business, you need to be down at the training center. 25 matches in 1 year doesn't make you a pro. 5 matches a year doesn't make you a pro. You need to be in the ring every day, 4 or 5 days a week, practicing.
Do, like, work to your strengths. Like, how many times do you think Vader or Bam Bam Bigelow did their moonsaults off the top without doing it in practice or where nobody's watching until they were comfortable enough to where they thought they could have executed it well on TV? Isn't that how it used to happen back in the day?
You made a good point here, right?
Yeah.
So when these big guys, and I'll even throw Hugh Morris in there because I was there the day Hugh Morris developed his moonsault, okay? Right. When we were wrestling back in the 90s, you were in the ring wrestling. In the 80s, you were wrestling in territories. You felt comfortable enough in your ability, and you know what you could do and what you couldn't do. What your body can do, okay? Now, the fact that they had crash mats and they had places to practice and there was always a wrestling school to go to because it was extraordinary. The business was booming. You had places galore that you can go. Hugh Morris, we were buddies, 1992. We're in Puerto Rico. We're at Victor Quiñones' house. Victor Quiñones had a party. He invites all the guys over. We're having a party. We're drunk as hell. This is the true story.
Well, that's why I'm glad I dig these out of you, man. I don't know what you're going to say, but I hope I find something that you can bring a story to the table.
Miguelito Perez, Ricky Santana, Skull Von Crush, Hugh Morris, a couple other guys are there, right? All of a sudden, we're drinking beers and say, all right, who's going to do a moonsault? In the pool.
Yep.
That's where you practice to do your moonsaults, in the pool. So here we are, drunk, and we're trying to moonsault. I'm the shits. Ricky Santana's the shits. Miguelito been doing it for years. Here comes Hugh Morris. He hits the first one. Drunker than drunk. He goes again. He hits it again. I go up there. I'm trying my ass off to do it. I'm halfway doing it. Well, I'm laughing. I'm getting destroyed. And I was a big guy at that time, right? Hugh Morris is over 300 pounds, and he's doing a moonsault. He goes to Japan. Quiñones said, hey, amigo, we're going to do the moonsault today like you do in the pool. He goes, what? He says, yeah, it's nothing. You can do it. There's no problem. He did it in Japan live in front of the people because he did it in the pool. It was repetition. Where do you learn? That's how I finally learned how to do a moonsault, where I was comfortable to do it in the pool, let alone the one time I tried it in a ring. I almost, I did a half salt. and I went three quarters away over my fucking, over the opponent, and I went this way. Bang. Of course, everybody thought I broke my neck. And I'm just saying, shit, fucked up.
Remember when Brock botched that shooting star press at WrestleMania? I don't recall. You never seen him do that again.
No, but there's, okay, there's another thing. D'Lo Brown, my buddy at the time, right? We're trying to do moonsaults. D'Lo's doing a moonsault every night. He's like, I got to do this moonsault, right? He decides he wants to do a shooting star press in Puerto Rico at the ballpark with heels, right? He does it, lands on his face, teeth are hanging out, eyes busted open. Nobody goes to help. I run out there. I said, D'Lo, you all right? I pull him out of the ring. I help him back to the thing. We got to take him to the hospital. And I took everybody to the hospital back then. So we're there. He says, Scully, I'm fucked up. I says, bro, just don't worry about it. The place looked like Vietnam. It was dirty. It was disgusting. He says, well, we have to pull these teeth. He says, I said, D, you're going to lose your teeth. He goes, Scully, you can't save that. I said, bro. The doctor came in. There was no pliers. There's no nothing, anything. The doctor puts on gloves. Okay, I'm holding D'Lo. Sean Morley's holding D'Lo. We're holding him, bracing him for the job. No front teeth. Just like that. That's how quick it was.
When was this? But was this after the WWE run or before?
No, this is before.
So remember in WWE, he was one of those guys that started wearing a mouthpiece in his mouth, didn't he, a lot? In his matches,
I think he did. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the chest protector was which is part of his gimmick.
But that's when he came up with the gimmick. Then they put him with the Nation and all that stuff. But that's where he did it in Puerto Rico. And D'Lo was not in shape. D'Lo was 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. If you guys look at Skull Von Crush 1995 against Lele, I was 290 pounds. I look like a totally different human being. If anybody puts that, but I could wrestle and I moved and I was athletic at that big. And I dwarfed. When I tell you dwarfed the other two guys who were in the ring. I was a big son of a bitch, but I wasn't doing anything off the top rope. I stayed on my feet. I was a big guy, but I could bump and feed and get up and wrestle. That's just the name of the game. And guys don't do it today.
Well, I'm glad we talked about that, Vito, but we're moving on. Ready?
Go ahead.
CM Punk. Last week in Cleveland, he had his AEW title match for Jon Moxley's interim AEW world title, and it was a quick match. They advertised it. They're playing it off like Punk's ankle still isn't right. So Moxley is the undisputed AEW world champion. It was a quick match. They probably did that for a reason, and the rumor is that they're going to build this towards Punk versus Moxley at All Out. So what's your thoughts on how that all went down?
There was speculation. I was not there, guys. There was a lot of speculation. CM Punk was fed up with a lot of things backstage. There were a lot of things going on behind the scenes with Tony Khan and the rest of the roster. And as you know, for the past month, there's been a lot of chaos in the AEW. So rumor had it that CM Punk said, that's it, taking my ball, I'm going home. I don't want to put up with this shit. And Tony Khan begged him to stay. It was alleged also that it had a lot to do with Colt Cabana being there. That's why they re-signed him, put him on Ring of Honor. And from what I'm told, he hasn't been on TV since. So CM Punk unhappy with what's going on in AEW, but has, and this is nothing against Phil, nothing against you, but it's just talking wrestling. This is not personal. Has he been the needle mover that they thought he was going to be when they brought him back to wrestling?
He only popped the rating that night that he debuted. That first episode of Rampage in Chicago did like 1.2 million, and it's never – and Dynamite hasn't even been there since. I mean, granted, you know, we're going to give AEW the benefit of the doubt. Dynamite did a million last week, but they never stay. Like, they never, it's always the same audience. I don't see
no momentum in the millions. There's no momentum.
Yeah. Bring in casuals, bring in fans that stopped watching. Like, that's what I want to see, right? More people to watch and enjoy wrestling.
Now, Hangman Page did not draw a dime for them, I don't believe. No disrespect to Hangman Page. It's just, it is what it is. You weren't ready to be world heavyweight champion. And CM Punk they put the title on him to try and draw the ratings. It did not matter that he had the belt. It didn't do anything. During CM Punk's reign here, he waits for crowd reactions instead of going out to get the reaction, looking around at the crowd, waiting for them to react. And he speaks instead of being that advocator who goes out and ignites the crowd so you get the reaction. Those days are over. CM Punk had a great run in the WWE because he was on a special platform. He goes to AEW where the platform is lower and the named AA players from the WWE are not there for him to mesh with. The Cena's, the Rock's, the Brock Lesnar's, and all those people. He's doing it with lesser talent. And I'm saying that anybody's bad or worse. It's just how you are in wrestling. You know, it's either going to be here or you're going to be a step below. And there's not too many guys who are up here. Being CM Punk came back, he thought, and everybody thought it was going to go back to nostalgia days, but it did not. He waited too long. He let the heat and let the speculation dry up. And I'm coming back. I'm not, you know, I give him a lot of credit for doing UFC. I give him a lot of credit for doing all the stuff.
Yeah, remember that first fight was in Cleveland, the UFC fight, when this quick match against Moxley was in Cleveland. I don't know. They might have talked that one up. They might have agreed to do that.
And then somebody in chat just said, it's like when Bret Hart left the WWF for the WCW, it didn't have the same because Bret Hart was not a WCW guy.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same thing when Sting came over. Sting wasn't a WWE guy. It didn't matter. You know, I even read something this week where they were talking about Vince McMahon. He says, who is Sting? Which is bullshit. You know who Sting is. If you didn't know who he was, why'd you give him $6 million to sign?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, next topic.
Well, yeah, and we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, I'm sure Dave Meltzer will keep us up to date on what match is going to happen at All Out for the AEW title. But Punk is not on top anymore. All right, Vito, hold your breath here.
Go ahead.
Don't get too excited because Johnny Gargano is back and he's in WWE, showed up on Raw. No surprise. He's a Triple H indie guy. You know, we've talked about it, how Triple H likes these indie guys. By the way, keep that thought in mind for our main topic today. But thoughts on Johnny Gargano. Now, you know the diehard wrestling fans marked out, love this guy. He's from Cleveland, right? Give him props. Great wrestler. But when you're coming out, does he draw, right? Is he a draw? Outside of wrestling fans, I'm sorry. I'm going to say no. And this is Triple H's WWE now. What's your thoughts on Johnny Gargano, specifically him? We'll talk about Triple H a little bit later.
If he didn't move the needle and drew 500 to 1,000 every time he went on an indie place, right? How's he going to go to the WWE and be a world champion and be a name grab or do all this stuff? Johnny Gargano, when you say that name, what does it do? Nothing. Does not elevate, doesn't get you excited. Johnny Gargano. Okay, what is he doing?
Now, let me ask you this, because I've heard the fans that are behind him, the fans that love that wrestling, the indie wrestling fans, they look at him and they say, hey, it worked. Daniel Bryan got pushed to the main event of WrestleMania, and there was a movement. He was in that same boat. Can Johnny Gargano be WWE's next Daniel Bryan? This is what I'm hearing from the fans that are behind him. What's that difference with those kind of guys? Daniel Bryan's done it.
Daniel Bryan was a better wrestler.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan's a better wrestler. Johnny Gargano does – when you say Johnny Gargano, I think he belongs in Impact. Honestly,
Daniel Bryan can be believable against the Brock Lesnar's. Is that kind of where you're going like that? That main event against any type of
– But that's because he was with the main guys that got him over. Who is going to get Johnny Gargano over to make him believable? Is Brock Lesnar going to do the job or put Johnny Gargano over? No. Is Roman Reigns going to put Johnny Gargano over? No. If Kane came back, would he put Johnny Gargano over? No.
But they're having Johnny Gargano feud against Reddy? Theory.
Yeah, but Theory's not even over.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. What's the,
There's nobody over to get anybody over because they didn't groom guys. They don't bring guys back to help groom the new generation of wrestlers and give anybody credibility.
It's a good point. And look, can I see him having wrestling matches on Raw against your Dolph Ziggler's and guys like that? And the house goes wild for the wrestling, the false finishes. Yeah, right. WWE still gives those fans what they want. I just can't see him being like this WrestleMania main eventer. I mean, even in Triple H's era, he's got to know, Vito, if you're going to sell out stadiums, you got to have larger than life superstars that are captivating and entertaining. You know, the wrestling fans are going to go, right? The diehards, they're going to go no matter what, but there's only so many of them.
You want to know who could? I'm going to say this, and I say it all the time when we're talking.
Uh-huh.
You know who's believable? Billy Gunn is believable. Yeah. He's got the body. He's got the look. He's got the size. That's what a wrestler looks like, right? So just for say, Billy Gunn has his heel persona. He comes out and he says, I'm sick and tired of this shit. I'm tired. I'm not doing this no more. And he goes to town and starts going through. Say he goes back to WWE, just for say, because there was a small bird who said he might be going back, right?
Yeah.
All right. So say he goes back to WWE. I could see him being a serious threat to be a new world champion. And he could whitewash anybody they got coming up, any up-and-comers. There's nobody who has his size, his athletic ability, his charisma. And he could be a heel.
And you're having late-run guys. Like, I mean, Jericho's still doing it in AEW. Edge is still doing it in WWE. So you still have that generation of age, you know, guys that are still able to go
guys
doing it.
Helping push the new guys and giving them the rubber.
Oh, I know that. I know that's guys. What they're supposed to do. Yeah.
Right. But they're doing what they're supposed to do. But well,
they're trying at least.
They're trying. But like, what's the big fear? Okay. Jericho. Let's just take Jericho. Eddie Kingston. Says he hated his stuff with Jericho. He didn't want to be in the ring with Jericho. 7 months of the fuck. But you had the rub for 7 months where you weren't one of the main event talent. And Eddie Kingston was never at the main event of any major company ever. And he's working with Chris Jericho and doing something, right?
Yeah.
Then he had a problem. And then he had a falling out with John Moxley, right? If I'm not mistaken. He didn't
at
like
least
work
it
with
seemed
him.
That way. Like, I never know what shoot or work anymore over there.
I'm going over the history, right?
But yeah.
So then he had he didn't like his angle or he didn't say anything positive about John Moxley. Then he had the falling out recently with Sammy Guevara, right? Now, Sammy Guevara worked with Jericho and all this stuff and tagged with Jericho and was with the main cog. So Sammy Guevara is like one of the untouchables. Like, you know, he's in with that crew.
Yeah.
And then you come and you want to talk shit and you say, hey, don't do this. And I can understand Eddie Kingston's upsetment about saying certain things on TV, which I respect because, hey, say, listen, don't bring up my wife. Don't bring up my family. You want to say I'm fat. You want to say I'm out of shape. And I'm going to kick your fucking ass. Right. But that wasn't translated in what happened. So, okay, you have it. But to go backstage and, like, he wasn't happy working with Sammy Guevara, and Sammy Guevara is, like, up a mid-card. Okay? So you have guys who are going like this, but nobody's moving up. Everybody's going up and down, up and down, up and down. But nobody's going. You have Jack Hager, who's there. He's supposed to be the baddest son of a bitch that ever lived. And he's not doing anything. Right? Lance Hoyt, who was with Jake the Snake, he's not doing anything. Right? You have the bodybuilder, Cage, Brian Cage, and he's in Ring of Honor.
He's still under that bubble, AEW, ROH, yep.
Right. Is Samoa Joe with AEW? Is Ring of Honor?
I don't know if, what side he's on. Probably the Ring of Honor side, because okay, Tony Khan's trying to build that up with the Ring of Honor people. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Claudio over there.
Right. So Claudio is Ring of Honor champion. Okay. So like, they got some guys over there, but like they're putting them there, but it's not anything mainstream. They're just, it's on a separate level, right? Yeah. You got Miro who's sitting on this side. You got Christian who's sitting there. He's doing something with some young guy who was what's his name? Luke Perry's son, right?
I got Jungle Boy. Luchasaurus there.
Right, Luchasaurus. So he's doing something with that.
Yep.
But you have these guys who are trying to get the guys to rub it. You see a whole bunch of complaining. But you're working with guys who were main eventers in the WWE, guys who had star power, guys who can give you the shine if you let them. And what's the big thing, right? If you don't sell for these guys, and then when you make your comeback doesn't mean nothing because you didn't sell, mm-hmm. right? And nobody puts over their opponent. Now, if I was wrestling Chris Jericho, and I say, Vito, you're going to be in a program with Chris Jericho, you don't go back and forth. I'm Chris Jericho, you do everything, you know, you've accomplished a lot of great things I didn't accomplish in wrestling. I'm wrestling you because I want to get to that level, and I'm gunning for you.
That's how it's supposed to work.
That's how it's supposed to work. Because now Chris Jericho knows he's being chased. And he knows I'm coming and I'm not going to give up. And I'm going to come. Even if I lose to him, I lost to a world champion, which people do not understand. Yeah. If you go and you talk about Billy Gunn or Christian Cage or any of these guys are world champions, which nobody mentions in their promos. These guys are former world champions. They've been there. They've done that. What have you done lately? You're just coming on the program and nobody else gave you a job. And here you are in AEW and you're crying the blues. Nobody puts over CM Punk in his world title. And nobody puts over CM Punk for anything he accomplished. They don't say anything. It's dumb. It's stupid because you could be elevating yourself because when you do beat him and he does put you over, it's just like the Macho Man with Diamond Dallas Page. They just had the anniversary, right? And you watched that. Mm-hmm. And here's how it went. Arn Anderson was the agent. Macho, what do you want to do tonight? How it's up to you. Well, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to hit him with the diamond cutter. You know, he's going to hit me with the diamond cutter. That's it. Because they had to make another star. And what was Razor Ramon's thing and Chris Jericho's thing, and this is what people don't understand, they never listen to, right? If you don't put over the young guys, we have nobody to play with. And then once we play with each other and we wrestle each other, there's nobody else for us to do anything with.
That's what WWE needs to find for Roman Reigns, the guy to pass the torch to.
Okay, and here was – and let's go WCW, Big Vito, right? It was a it was an angle to get the hardcore title. If I didn't beat Terry Funk, who was undefeated, and he was the man, if I didn't beat him straight one-on-one, I would not have been taken seriously as a hardcore champion. Nobody else beat Terry Funk for the title. Nobody else wrestled him. And here I come, badass son of a bitch. I hope everybody goes and watch that match because that's what a championship match is supposed to be like. And when a guy like that hands you the belt, shakes your hand, in front of millions of people, that's what you do. That's how you do business, yeah. right? And what did I do being here? I hit him and let everybody know I'm the new motherfucker in town. I'm running this fucking ship.
You did.
That's how it's done, right? But because of like all the booking and all the bullshit that went on in WCW, right? I was going, and then all of a sudden they took the belt off me, but I was going strong. Everybody knew when I came out, I was the champ. It wasn't nobody better than me. And I was with the Booker T's and Kevin Nash's and the Stevie Ray's and the great announcers that put me over, Tony Schiavone, Bobby Heenan, Pedro Morales, Larry Sabisco, right? And that's what it's about. If you don't mm-hmm. put the guy over, they're not going to get you over.
That's true.
But you have to back it up. And if you're not a tough son of a bitch, when you come to the ring and you're not hard hitting and you don't make it believable, ain't nobody going to buy a ticket to see this bullshit.
Speaking of buying tickets then, Vito, we got Tony Khan and Triple H basically the mainstream wrestling we see on TV today.
Right.
These two guys are booking it because Vince McMahon is gone. Like, who is going to lead wrestling into the promised land in the future? What I mean, I know they both offer different things. Tony Khan's email and WWE allegedly stop tampering with my talent. This is it. Whose vision now? WWE, Triple H has a crutch. WWE has its history, right? So they're already up there. But what's wrestling of the future? Is it AEW's 1 million fan base? Or can Triple H figure out a way to incorporate his NXT but still keep the old school WWE alive with the larger than life stars? Vito, where are you at with this?
Virtue, who is the longest running wrestling promotion in the world?
WWE. Unless there's a smaller one, like never mainstream. Okay, WWE.
There have been many who've come to battle and many who have lost and went back home. Doesn't matter who it is, WWE, with all the chaos, with all the bullshit, with all the stuff that goes on, right? Vince McMahon made something, but it started with Vince Sr. So yeah. Vincent Sr. McMahon, Vince Jr., right? Those guys put the wrestling, the mind, and the concept in motion. There's one boss, one way to do things. This is the way we do it, okay? They've been through the wars. They've withstood everybody's challenge. They're still running strong. If WWE, say, lost their contract with the TV deal, right? The WWE could say, okay, I have my own network. I'll put my show on this and charge people to pay. If Tony Khan lost his TV deal today,
not good.
What would, not good. Where would they go and who would put them on TV if they're not drawing on TBS and where they are right now? Where are they going?
Fight app? I don't know, Fido. The Fight app, the New Japan World app, or Fight Destination America.
But then you're talking, they're dropping down to Impact. There's no disrespect to anybody in Impact. Yeah. It's no disrespect at all. It's just where you're positioned in the wrestling business, right? So NWA is trying to climb the ladder, but they got their own little deal, right?
They kind of know their identity, though. You know exactly what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Then you have Impact, who was up here when Jarrett had it. Then they had a falling out and Dixie Carter and all the stuff. And they have their niche in their place. They know they're at 130,000 people or less, you know, and they're going to get their stuff. The AEW, this is their niche right now because they have a TV deal, right? So if that TV deal gets taken, where do they go, people?
I don't know.
Don't know. Now, somebody in here said UWF with Herb Abrams, right? That was a long time ago, but that was something that somebody had money for, right? The Society X, that went under. Global Force, under. TNA, Lucha Underground, you know, they all had a downsize, like you're saying, just what I just finished saying. But nobody knows where AEW goes if they lose their deal. WWE could say, okay, I'm going to take my program, I'm going to put it here. This is what we got for $9.95, and everybody's going to pay for it again.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to go to the network.
I think WWE, though, they're in a position. They know at the worst case scenario, they'll be able to sell to a streaming service or still sell to a network, but maybe not get that ridiculous amount of money that they get. But they're probably still going to get offers, like at the worst case scenario, even if it's undercut from past offers.
Now, guys, just for say, like you have the Disney Channel, right? Okay. Discovery streamer, possible, right? But say you have the Disney Channel. Okay. And Disney says, okay, we want to be incorporated with Titan Sports, WWE, because it's name, biggest companies in the world, Disney and WWE. Now, if they did a merger and they said, okay, we're going to put something on our TV service, Discovery Plus. Now you're talking like it's a major thing. Somebody's going to pay. It's still a paying streaming service.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to pay for it. They're still going to make money because there's millions and millions of people. Not only do they like Disney, that they like cartoons and they like all the characters, but it goes under the same thing where they're going to pay for the whole package. You throw WWE in there, you're adding another $10 to your bill.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, guys?
This is where we're at, though. The life after Vince McMahon. Of course, WWE has the foundation of their whole existence. They'll be okay. Like, they got down to 2 million people, and they're still hovering around that. They're still selling out WrestleMania, you know, two nights now. It is what it is. Like, they got their stranglehold. But can AEW find theirs? That's up for debate.
It is, and I'm being told from the back that Disney has Fox and FX. You know, I'm not up to all the things, but Disney is a worldwide conglomerate. They've been in business just as long, if not longer, than the WWE. So for them to carry over and say, hey, we're going to do business with longtime people, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, take it like this, people. I've worked for TV, Turner Sports. I've worked for the WWE, Titan Sports. I've worked for Panda Energy. I've worked for Disney. I've worked for the biggest companies in the world.
That's true. This is all factual information, people.
So when you talk about what's on the inside and you look on the inside, you're in the office and you see what the world looks like from back there, you're saying, wow, this is pretty, like, you know, this is pretty universal, because it's the universe who watches it, and everybody knows who Disney is, who TBS is, who Panda Energy is. They all know this.
And a lot of those services are available outside of the United States.
Right.
So the reach is global.
So you're not talking like you're missing anything. You know, that's why when people come on and they say all this nonsense, you know, and they make fun, the WWE is going to be around forever. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, Vince McMahon could do 100 million things wrong, right? But there are still people who praise him for the work he did for WWE. He did do work. He did help bring wrestling up. You know, Stephanie, Shane, Linda, Triple H, right? They all contributed to making a better product, and that's what they're trying to do now, which is great. Keeps up, you know, trying to keep up to a standard. But when you're trying to top your top, there's only so many times you could top. That's why we laugh at when you say, okay, Theory against Johnny Gargano. It's like, okay, these guys what would they be back in the day in the 90s? They would be, you know, enhancement talent for the big stars. And, you know, would they be good enough to be in WCW back in the day? Could these guys handle being in ECW in the prime years? Would these guys be good enough for ECW? I don't know. And I think it was Bully Ray and Cardona who went back and forth, and Bully Ray said, you wouldn't even last a day back in the ECW. Cardona made a comment back. I don't know what conspired it, but here you have truth, you know, in some things. Could guys wrestle back in ECW who are wrestling today? I don't think so, because the work ethic was not there. And when guys are only wrestling once a week, and when we had the training facility, and when we had the training camp, and before you went in the ring, you had to do training before you went into your match.
And you guys could call it in the ring with this knowing the finish. Yeah. Today they'd be like deer in headlights.
You would not. You think? Okay, I'll use my match, and I'm going to use a Jerry Lynn match. Okay, if you didn't wrestle Rob Van Dam on the house shows, right? And you didn't know, okay, Rob, okay, I know you do this, I know you do that, I know, okay, I understand, hey, Vito, you like doing this, and so you go in the ring, and, you know, after two or three times, you got it. Yeah. Jerry Lynn and Rob Van Dam, right? You saw their matches and how, okay, Jerry, I know what you like, I know you could do this, I know it. More athletic Jerry Lynn, right, to match an athletic Rob Van Dam. So now we got two athletic guys trading moves. I love that style. That's where I copied my style from, because I like wrestling like those gentlemen, right? Sabu included, because you could do different things. Mm-hmm. But then you went to a powerhouse like Taz. You had to curt it down. Okay, this is what Taz does. This is what Vito does, right? But then when you saw Vito in WCW, when he moved away, here you see flying headbutt, elbow drop, mafia kick, this, that, the other. You know, I had a whole arsenal. Because I got to perfect it from the years of being on the indies and getting a chance to do these things. These guys today are just doing them to do them, not with no perfection, execution, or perfection.
And hence, Botchamania or whatever, AEW botches.
And does everybody mess up out there, me included? Of course. I just hope it doesn't wind up. Well, yeah, it's just that's a whole nother
story. But you guys masked it so much better back then. Like when you did a botch, you guys wouldn't
cover it up,
and you couldn't tell a botch even happened, for the most part.
For the most part.
But that's all I got this week, Vito. Anything you want to add before we close the show? We're approaching 40 minutes. We just hit 40 minutes.
Passionate show, good information, great segment. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you like the new format. I hope you're following along. You know, follow us. You know, subscribe to us. We love you guys. Thank you very much. You know, we're trying to do this and get back on the road. So hang with us, guys. We're there. I hope everybody enjoys what... Wait a minute. Vito, you love Botchamania. Yeah, as long as I'm not on it.
Yes. As long as he's not on it.
All right, Virgil, close the show.
All right, everybody. So, yeah, this Getting Color, you can actually hear it on audio only. Noella put that up. It's right here on Twitch. I don't know if she might put it on YouTube. It's all over our social medias, NoDQ.com. Be sure to follow Vito on Twitter, at the Big Vito Brand. Follow me, if you'd like, at NoDQ_Virtue. But that's it. For the former WCW hardcore champion and legend, Big Vito, I am Virtue, and this has been Getting Color right here on thebigvitobrand.com. See you next time.